Hi, I'm Dave Bushong, KZ10, and this is 99hobbies.com. Welcome to 99hobbies.com. I say this every time, of course, that this will be a particularly fun episode tonight. We will be talking with John Blackham, N7TEK, and a few of his friends about On Target and the Boy Scouts.
Is everyone here?
Yes. Hi, Dave.
This is a first for us as we're using a conference bridge for this podcast. Usually it's just one-on-one. We did an episode about Boy Scouts last week, and it really felt good to discuss ham radio and Boy Scouts. It sounds kind of simple, but look around the room and how many people here are Boy Scouts? All right, well, let's introduce everyone. We have John, N7TEK. Hi, John.
Hi, Dave. I don't know how things are back there in New Hampshire, but it's getting hot out here in Utah and up here in North Salt Lake. It's going to be 101 tomorrow for On Target, but it should be cool up in the mountains, so
wow.
Time to see that event. Let me introduce my two friends here. I have Doug Brewer, who's the founder of On Target, and also have Kip Buckner, who's the National On Target Committee Chairman, and I'll let them both say hello.
Okay.
Kip, I'll let you go first.
Hi, I'm also a ham operator. My call sign is KC7OXX. John, would you like to explain, or Doug, what On Target is, or do you want me to do that?
Well, maybe it'd be best if I gave a little bit of the history of how it evolved. Would that be all right?
Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself, Doug.
Do that now?
Sure. I agree with you.
Back in the, 70s, John? I lose track of years.
I think so. I wasn't really involved back then, so you're going to have to fill us in on those details.
Yeah, there was a program that was created by a couple of scouting advocates to keep boys involved in scouting. It was called Varsity Scouting. And when they first conceived the idea, it took time and energy to try and make it go and figure out what would... the program ended up to be so fantastic that it was too good not to share. That was when I became involved in it as a Varsity Scout team coach. It was like a scoutmaster. And it was such a great program to keep boys involved in scouting, to keep their interest up at an age when they're normal. They just, you know, go off on their own ways and lose everything that they adhered to in scouting, the principles and ideals and all. And so I was asked to help do something to publicize it and to get the scouts to be excited about it and to show them what the program was. About that same time, I'd happened to discover the uniqueness of a signal mirror that can shoot, you know, attract attention for a great distances, 50 miles easily with a small one and 150 miles with big ones, as we learned. And after we figured that out, how to use them and all, we realized we had a great, exciting tool that you could give a boy a light stick that could attract attention at such long distances. Then we thought, well, what if we got all Varsity Scout teams up on peaks at one common time, once a year in the morning? We planned a date Saturday morning where many, many teams could be on peaks, and no matter where you looked, there'd be a team. And you could stir up interest by, you could tell, you know, signal them with a signal mirror. And we had teams counting 5, 10, 15, 20 signals from all around and logging in the coordinates and everything, a great geography lesson. And we build it as a get on target on the peak and on target in life. And use the Varsity Scout program to help you do that. And out of that, many side elements came, such as, naturally, ham radio operators. I had a friend who was a ham radio operator, and boy, he just lit up like a light globe, because here's a such a, you know, global thing that we set a goal of having it from border to border, Canada, Mexico. make a link all the way up and down, and the Golden Gate Bridge, and as far east as we could. The mountains were out about Denver, so that's generally been the area, although it doesn't need to be. And so he was so excited about the ham radio part, because you have to kind of know where a team is going to be, to be looking in the right direction at the right time and all. And it's so much easier to coordinate. And ham radio is, you know, was gospel. This was before cell phones, and it was just the answer to our prayers as far as being able to make this thing work. And it was has always been an integral part in it. And then we had a moment on the peak for lunch hour, so to speak, or scouter's minute, where some great leader in the country or in the community would write a letter to be read to these boys after the event. And we've had three or four presidents of the United States write those letters. General Schwarzkopf. We've had, can't remember them all, but some sportsmen, Carl Malone and
Olympic athletes, Rulin Gardner.
Yeah, and that's an exciting moment for a boy on a peak to be spoken to by, President Reagan. He wrote a very nice letter, and same thing with both President Bush's and President Ford. And anyway, so that's an exciting sidebar. So
this is something that's been going on for a long time. It's not just recent.
To be read by the next team the following year. A lot of little incidentals that just contribute to the history, and a great geography lesson for the kids. And it's just, it has such magic high adventure elements. You know, go to a peak, there's a story in just that. And then to be able to communicate by ham radio operators, they always try and get them to take a ham radio operator with them so that they could always communicate with everybody else. That has been an integral part in having the thing work. And it's gone on now for 20-something years, and it's just been a tremendously exciting thing. And it keeps those involved in the program now stimulated and interested and intrigued, because Varsity Scouting is a wonderful program, and that's what it was designed to make go. I've said my piece. Now, Kip, you can inform them maybe about what's happening currently.
Currently, we have teams throughout Utah. We have some teams in New Mexico and some teams in California, some in Idaho and Wyoming, and on the Oregon-Idaho boundary there. We're excited and trying to get the program to grow again. We went through a period of time where it sort of died down a little bit, but we're getting going. Hopefully we can double our numbers each year for a couple of years and get as many as we can involved. Great program. It's fun to do.
Yeah, don't forget the teams out in Colorado. They're got some of them participating again this year, and there's a ham in Wichita, Kansas that's been sending us some information on possibly using lasers and LEDs, bright LEDs and things in case it's overcast. Been talking with him to see if there's some ways to, like if it's overcast, some options that give teams that may get up there and find out it's cloudy or some clouds roll in or something, and just some things for the future that we're looking at as well.
Well, you know, I was thinking that instant messaging is really popular these days. I mean, why would it be better to go up on a mountaintop to send Morse code with a light beam than just sit at home and use the IM thing on America Online? I'm not sure if I'd want to hike up the mountain, but how could you sell this as being a better thing to do than sitting around the house?
I'll go ahead on that. There's just a feeling that you can see, when you can look out and see a distant peak and see somebody trying to signal to you, that you can't get sitting down on the chair in your room. just the excitement of getting up there and just looking out all over this vast horizon for miles and miles and miles and miles. It's exciting.
Sometimes you'll see a team as they climb up the trail from the bottom of the mountain to the top. They'll stop every so often and signal you, and you see them a little farther and a little farther, and you see exactly where the trail goes. And to realize that you are communicating with a signal mirror 25 or 30 or 40 miles with another team that's doing the same thing you are, and watch them do that as they go, and you know, you can feel the excitement they're feeling when you signal them back. It's just and it's an electric thing. It's wonderful.
I got an email from one of you guys today with a Excel spreadsheet of all these mountaintops with the latitude and longitude and the height and so forth. What's that about?
It would have been John sending it. He tracks that religiously.
Yeah.
It's important for everybody to kind of know where others are, so they know geographically, you know, in the 360 degrees where to look, because you may not notice them. You kind of, sometimes you have to stir them up with your signal mirror, scan the horizon, and they've kind of got to be looking here again. That's why ham radio is so important to us.
Yeah, they may be working a team off in the 180 degrees the other direction and not even know that somebody's trying to signal them from behind. So it's kind of where the amateur radio communications comes in to try and get their attention and maybe get the team split up a little bit, and some of them swung around so they're paying attention to you and signaling back at you as well. and that spreadsheet I sent you is actually coming off the website. We have a registration page, and then the website was just recently revamped a little bit thanks to a friend of Kip's, and they actually put the take the sign-ups, and they're available online, but we try to protect a little bit the teams that sign up so that their email addresses don't go out beyond the people that are actually going to be participating on target. But,
sure. And we'll put a couple links in the show notes so people can check it out, and at the same time maintain privacy for people that are involved here. I was wondering, do you think that doing this kind of thing, do you think it's going to change the future of any of these people that participate, and how would it change their future?
Well, this is John. I'm I guess tomorrow will be my 10th on-target experience. I kind of got involved purely as a support out of amateur radio-wise, but wasn't so sure how it was going to be, but I got hooked after doing it the first time, and I've taken some of the scout groups up in my own area, my own neighborhood, and a lot of times the boys and the leaders aren't too sure about it, and then they get up on the top, and a lot of times it's hard to get them off the peak because they have so much fun up there doing it. A lot of times it's like, oh, can we do this again? And like maybe next month or so, and makes a difference. It's not just that they learn this, the mirror signaling part of it, which could be a survival skill.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some practice to be able to aim a mirror and hit something that's 10 miles away, let alone further out 50 or 100 miles away. Currently, as far as I know, the record's 147 miles from a peak in the Las Vegas area into Southern California, down somewhere between Los Angeles and San Diego, down in that area.
Yeah. Talk about changing lives. That interesting, varsity scouting has five fields of emphasis. One of them is service. And interestingly, ham radio operator, I was interested to know when I got into it. That's the name of the game for a ham radio operator. And so there's a natural thing there, and it is our hope that a boy will be enticed into what Baden-Powell called it, the game of scouting. You make it fun, and then while he's having a good time with the game, he learns this idea of serving and helping others. And so it's the kind of the enticement that exposes him to more idealistic and things beyond his own interest. And that not only applies to boys, but leaders. There's a lot of leaders that have gotten excited about scouting because they go up on a peak and signal and have a good time and can't wait till next year, and they want the boys to go with them, so they teach them how to do that and all, and it's just been great that way. Just a postscript to the maybe your listeners would be interested if they haven't tinkered with a signal mirror. It is simply got a hole, a mirror on both sides with a hole in it that lets light through it, and the light comes through and hits you maybe on your cheek or hand. And if you line up that dot on your face with the hole that you're looking through, that means you're signaling to the point that you're looking through the hole at. It is very, very precision, and you can use a mirror. An experienced mirror person who knows how to do this can flash a place, you know, 146 or 76 miles away, and know that they're hitting them. It's a real fun little tool, you know, the safety aspects of having one with you so that you can signal a plane or something. And that's a service element, too, and something that it changes our life. I just came back from a motorcycle riding trip up in Idaho, and we get spread out and lost, and I always keep a signal mirror in my hip pocket, and I get up on a lit ridge or a peak somewhere and can zero right in and find the rider, and he knows where I am. So that's a service to both of us and to help each other out. So there's a lot of aspects of service, and it's just been great.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a tool. It's another to know how to use it. It sounds like a good opportunity. If somebody else wanted to get involved in this project, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about this?
I guess I'll jump in. Yeah, we do. It's at www.ontargetbsa.org, and I imagine you'll have that listed on your website under the show notes.
I'll put that in the notes, yeah.
For people to look at when they have a chance.
Cool. Well, this is a. You know, I'm thinking of
information out there, not only how to make a mirror, but some key peaks out in the west that are good. We're always trying to revamp that and add new things that might be helpful to those participating. Some of the hams that I've known actually go up, and they're not involved with any of the scouts, but they maybe have helped some in the past and just go out to do it just to be another point for the scouts to signal to. I know some hams that have done that from the Utah Amateur Radio Club. They just decide sometimes to go take a hike that particular day and take a peek and go out and be another point out there to signal to and get signal from.
Well, I know that personally I've been on top of a mountain in Mount Ascutney in Vermont for a field day a couple of years, and I was surprised. I mean, I expected it to be a beautiful thing, you know, sitting up there on top of the mountain, but I really can't imagine what the kind of things you're doing going up there and actually communicating with light. That's got to be a lot of fun, and it'd be good to do that with other people, to bring other you know, Boy Scouts up there to enjoy that, and fresh air and getting outside. Actually, that was one of the big things from your website, you know, scouting is outing. I like that part a lot. So listen, John Blackham, N7TEK, and Doug Brewer, Kip Buckner, thanks for joining us on 99hobbies.com. Now, can I make an appointment with you for July next year? Can we talk again?
You bet.
Sure, we'd love to do that. Actually, next year we'll probably be moving on target to the third Saturday in September, just because the weather is usually a little bit better and there's fewer forest fires out here in the west and fewer smoke to deal with. But just to let your listeners know
that. Well, that's pretty important. All right, 73 from 99hobbies.com.